Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 206, episode 4 of Your Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. It completely throws me off if we take a single day off. I can't say the episode number confidently because I'm like, episode 4, but it's Friday. Anyways, little window behind the curtain there. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive, a window behind the curtain into the behind the scenes of the curtain. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into American shared consciousness. Miles, it is Friday, October 15th, 2021, which of course means that it is National Shawarma Day, National I Love Lucy Day.
National Grouch Day.
Yeah, now that is what the fuck I'm talking about. A little old man energy, a little old live in a garbage can.
I think it's something to do with, I think, from the Sesame Street people, like, got this day on board or something. Been celebrated since 76, National Grouch Day.
That was one of the things I tried to get my son to be for Halloween instead of a trash truck was Oscar the Grouch, because he lives in a trash can. And
right.
He was like, nah, Oscar the Grouch sucks, Dad. Which is not true, but I'm working on him. Anyways, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Here we pod again, not alone. Getting loud about some stoves that run on coal. Like a hipster, I was born to dress in wool. But I've made up my mind. I gotta record some more Zeit. So here I pod again. That is courtesy of Johnny Davis. And I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
I said, I am weed. I am weed. I am weed. I am weed. Yes, Megan Fox. I smell like weed because I am weed.
Wow.
That just occurred to me this morning. And that's to me. Shout out to me. And shout out to Molly Lambert with
Molly
that
Lambert.
Amazing article. We're like, yo, Molly wrote that shit.
Like right when we got off. Yeah. As Anna Hosnier joined, she was like, yeah, you guys talked about Molly's article? I was like, huh? But amazing work by Molly Lambert. Hopefully we can have her on to talk about what really went on in that article. But yeah, what the fuck? I'm still not over it.
And if he smokes mids, you know, what kind of weed is MGK smoking? You know
what, I mean? What if he just smokes the worst trash?
He smokes
weed?
Like CBD.
She was smoking a CBD joint at one point.
He was?
She was.
Oh, Megan Fox?
During the thing. Yeah, Megan Fox. I guess it was to prep so for the built for tattoo. It. So, yeah. I guess I shouldn't act like that's a big deal. She isn't weed. He is weed. So
right, right. But that's what I mean. Because
if he was all CBD too.
If yeah, no, because then I'd be like, wait, what? That means you don't like any kind of psychoactive anything. You're just like, I just like the act of smoking this neutral plant.
I actually like the synthetic stuff you can get from the
spice
gas station.
Yes, spice K1. You down with that?
Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat once again, way too long, by a comedian and writer who has written for Adult Swim's Robot Chicken and hosts the hilarious Los Angeles-based comedy show Funnilingus with past guest Dana Donnelly and Pallavi Ganalan. Please welcome the hilarious and talented Ellery Smith!
Hooray!
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Oh my God, thank you for being back.
Been too long.
Been too long.
Since we were just looking back, the last episode you're on is 2019.
I mean, it was so long ago. We were talking about Havana Syndrome. You remember that story? It's been
lasted one week
since I talked about. What's new with you? You're still in LA.
I'm still in LA. I didn't leave at all.
Okay.
I had nowhere to go, so I roughed it out the whole time here. Just spent a lot of time at home with my cat.
Yeah.
Any new, what's new, new hobbies, new desires, new life revelations?
I wanted to learn. I picked up a lot of half hobbies over the pandemic, but two I didn't get to is I wanted to learn the banjo. Didn't happen, but there's still time. And then I think I'm going to get a worm farm.
Yes.
A worm farm?
Do you have a yard or a...
No, I have a garage, like a dark garage I can close, but I wouldn't have to keep it in my house. But yeah, I want like a red wiggler worm farm.
What's that?
It's... just a farm. It's like a box of worms that hang out and they eat your leftovers. And they make like really nutrient rich soil for your house plants.
Right, right. And then is it like an ant farm where like you can kind of watch them like get
you can
down?
Watch from the top, but they need like they live like in the dirt, so they need darkness. Right.
Have you heard of these things, Miles? Worms? Have you seen these things? You heard about them?
I don't even really know if they're Are worms bugs?
Right?
I think they're actually vegetables because they don't have seeds, if my understanding is correct.
I mean, invertebrates at best is the thing I will stake my claim on.
Like but land crustaceans.
Yeah.
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 They ain't got no exoskeleton, though.
Yeah.
No. And that's what people come to hear this show for, people with no science background.
I was going to say, this is a science show. I was in a writer's room once and I told everybody that ducks were mammals. And I didn't hear the end of it for like 2 weeks.
Did you have a nickname because of it too?
No, they would just keep bringing it up. And I'd be like, listen, guys, I was addicted to Whippets in high school. I'm not bringing like brain power to the table. I'm just a fun personality.
Now, also, if you want to start talking nangs, then we can start talking.
Yeah, exactly.
Ducks kind of are mammals, like from an impressionistic standpoint. Yeah, they've got like, there's some mammal-ass birds for sure.
Yeah. They've got mammal vibes.
Wait, why do you think it has a mammal? What's mammal vibey about? To me, it's so clearly a bird. But what?
I don't know what it is about it. Like they just like they I feel like they have fur. They just I'm not like they just seem like they chill around the swamp.
How do you feel about a swan?
That's a mammal.
Yeah, that might as well be a mammal.
OK, so we're thinking any like a bird that is like more sort of unique, like the bill is a little bit different. It's not like a flying Tweety type bird. Then
for
you feel like
it
has
seems
big
like
mammal
a
energy.
Warm blooded thing. When I think of like snakes or alligators, I'm like, okay, cold blooded. That's whatever the opposite of
that's
mammal
a bird.
Is.
A snake and a lizard is
that's
a bird.
A bird. You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's a bird. Them birds. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Something about like duck boots and like. Yeah, something about that all just makes
the
LL mammals
Bean
in my brain.
Boots?
Yeah, the L, like they're too associated with LL Bean to be not mammals in my brain.
Wait, but what is a duck boot that's giving you all this like
duck
information?
Boat?
You're like, this is okay.
You know,
All right, Trina's up the station, and I think I'm catching the next one. So see y'all.
Now, this is going to be the episode, Miles.
We're just going to be riffing on duck items.
Right.
Duck face. Those are mammals, mm-hmm. as far as I can tell.
Well, they're because they're humans posing their face jackets.
Ducks are mammals. Anyways, okay. Ellery, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about. There was a Trump rally where they pledged allegiance to a flag from January 6th. So we'll talk about how that went. We're going to talk about how power operates in two disparate stories. Adam Schefter, the NFL Woj, like the lesser Woj from a shittier league.
Insider, NFL insider.
Yeah. And then Alex Murdaugh, I think is how we're pronouncing it, was charged with hiding settlement money from the kids of the woman he may have murdered. He's the small town, big time attorney who has just generations of corruption. And it's just wild to lift up the rock and see what's going on under there.
Worms.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah. We're going to talk big strike energy. We're going to talk how the January 6th subpoena Dodgers are entering what is termed in legal circles the find out phase of the fuck around and find out legal process. And I'm calling it. Today, we're talking about a medical condition where you have zero visual imagination. This is getting up there as the story I've introduced the most times, and super producer Justin has had to cut it out of the intro the most times, or not. Maybe you've all heard me introduce it 15 times, but we're going to fucking talk about it today. You hear? All that, plenty more. But first, Ellery, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
My most recent search is Hollywood Improv food menu.
Okay.
What's up with that? Is
well,
it good?
I think it. Oh no, it's not good. Okay. But it tells you that, like, I'm somebody that plans ahead.
Yeah.
That I support live comedy, and that I'm willing to spend like $18 on a hamburger when I live 5 minutes away.
Wow. What's the best thing to eat there?
I wouldn't recommend any of it, but
yeah. Have you just gone down the list to find the most tolerable offering?
They have a Impossible Burger that's serviceable. And then the last time I was there, the door guy let me finish his fries. And so that was a nice free meal.
Yeah.
Nice.
Love it. I love a spare set of fries.
Absolutely. I'll never say no. If they're going to the trash can instead, definitely.
Yeah, or look, and I've said this before, I've thrown out fries and been like, you know what, actually, I don't
Let
I
me get back in there.
Out.
If it's your personal trash can, that's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, and it's in a container. Yeah. It didn't touch any other trash, and it's on top. Look.
I'm all for it.
I'm just being efficient.
Waste look, all these time. Food service industry workers want to complain about unfair wages, but what they don't talk about is the free fries. That was the one thing that made my one very short-lived waiting job bearable, was that they had really good fries. That
I worked at a donut shop this summer, and we got a new manager towards the end of my tenure there, and he yelled at me for eating the tater tots.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, why do you think I work here, asshole?
Well, also, I was making the tater tots. It's like, you do have to test them to see if they're okay.
As long as you're not eating them straight out the basket or something, you know, if you're not doing a health code violation, like, skim them. Unless that's the thing. He's like, Ellery, please stop reaching into the deep fryer and just pulling out.
Nothing wrong with that. It burns
hot.
Hot,
hot.
You get used to it. Your fingertips burn off and then you stop.
Right. Like you're in the Men in Black.
Yeah.
I do wish somebody had told me as I was entering the workforce that, like, 90% of the jobs exist so that somebody has the ability to, like, be mean to somebody else. Like, a manager has the ability to, like, belittle someone so they feel a little bit better, and that they're, like, always wrong, because that would have...
We were manager-less for... This is sort of like a saga, but we were without a manager for quite a few months, and everything was totally fine, and it really sort of exposed the fact that, like, managers are mostly there for organizational stuff.
Yeah,
and to like make sure you're wearing your uniform. But we literally went like four months without a manager and nothing happened.
Yeah.
Right. And they're like, well, no, I still need to add someone that I pay a lot more than the rest of y'all to make sure this thing works, despite the evidence that it's working without it.
Well, we all quit as soon as he hired. So
boom. Yeah. There you go. Flex it.
And that is the system working. You hire your manager and then everybody quits. And you're like, this is a good manager. He really holds it down, you know? What was a good donuts? Were you happy with the quality of donuts that you were
serving? Yeah, the donuts rocked. I would eat a lot of donuts for sure. Okay. Yeah.
I just saw that video on TikTok of that Dunkin' worker who was showing how much donuts they throw out at the end of the day.
And oh, like, yeah. Geez. Yeah, we threw out a lot of unfrosted donuts, but we were able to donate a few too.
Right. And but when you see things like that, you're like, God, there's so much waste still.
There really is. And there are so many, but I also used to work at Trader Joe's, and just to see the stuff that we would throw out and like not be able to donate because it was like sort of a liability for the company was really like one of the things that radicalized me for sure.
Right. And you're like, because of some weird liability thing, like this isn't expired. It's
exactly.
Like, we just have to protect ourselves. There's no way we could ever.
And then we would lock the dumpster. We'd put padlocks on the dumpsters.
Yeah, that's
people couldn't go back in.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Throw it out and protect.
Yes,
the trash.
Because they're so worried that somebody could get sick and sue.
You'd hope that at the very least there wouldn't be a law that, like, if you are at a point where you're eating out of the trash can, that couldn't be frivolous about suing somebody. But I don't know. Like, because that's all the worry. It's like, but it's this liability thing.
It's a cool system. Overall, it's a cool system that we have. Very good.
No holds to be barred.
So you work. Yo, do they make y'all say at Trader Joe's like to compliment the shit that people buy?
I see those tweets now and it's really funny to think about. But no, I think they just hire. I think they hire really like somebody stoked in a regular people. World would be really annoying. But at Trader Joe's, it's like, do you know what I mean? Like I worked with a lot of really annoying sort of like high personality people.
Right.
But I genuinely think they look for people who are like good at small talk, friendly, you know. So it's sort of like Also, when I was working there, I worked there actually with my mom like through high school and then I worked there through college. And it was like a little performance, you know what I mean? Like it was sort of like doing stand up. And like the customers expect that too.
Interesting. Oh, so it's more of an energetic sort of thing.
Yeah,
like
it's definitely an energy. And also you're not a lot like I feel like that was one of the few jobs where if I was having like a somber day, customers really noticed because like,
what's wrong?
Oh, there was this drilling outside my house and I thought that was your reaction to that.
It sounded like a plane going over. No, I was pretending to be a Trader Joe's customer.
Yikes.
Yeah, but I feel like at that job specifically, because like the tenor is so upbeat always, if you have like a medium day, customers are really like smile more.
God, I can imagine like
the thing that everybody loves to hear is you smile more. Can you give us any of your Trader Joe's material from your like stand up days working the Trader Joe's?
I can't even really remember it now. It's so far away. Yeah. But there was a bunch of dealing with customers was also there's sort of like a rumor or a mythos around Trader Joe's that it's like healthy food because there's bamboo paneling like in all the stores.
Right.
But it's
people
not.
Think it's healthy?
Yeah. Oh, also they're reduced guilt. At least this was true when I worked there. They're like reduced guilt meals. It's the same food, just less.
Oh, right.
So it's calorically you're arriving.
Yes,
at
you get
a
smaller
number.
Serving, but nothing is different about the recipe.
That is a window behind the scenes, behind the curtain of Trader Joe's that you only get from the Daily Zeitgeist.
TRAITOR,
as we call it.
Traitor.
That's a good name for a podcast. We got to do it. Because Trader Joe's, I remember they were like one of the only brands that had a podcast for a long time.
Yeah.
They were like Trader Joe's podcast where you just like go and listen to people talk about how fucking lit Trader Joe's is.
TJ's.
Yeah, yeah. What is something you think is overrated, Ellery?
So I have two. Sweater weather, kind of overrated. It's good for a week. And then I'm like, I'm not into it. And then really original Halloween costumes, I think, are overrated because they're fun. But
really original.
Really original.
All that
ones.
Effort you put into
Yes, exactly. Here's exactly what I think about it. Because good ones are really good, but some of them are too niche, which means you're explaining yourself all night. And then we need to like normalize lazy Halloween costumes.
Yeah.
Right.
We're all busy. I don't want to buy a bunch of stuff. You're never going to wear any of that shit again.
No. No. Absolutely not. I mean, I like the last time I really did it up for Halloween, I like my friend who has like a costume house. I was like, can I borrow like a holster? And like that was it. And then I was like, this is too much. This is too much effort. I remember when I could just put on a basketball uniform and just say, I'm basketball guy.
Give me some candy.
Yeah.
The Halloween costume industry. So long way of getting to agreeing with you, but I had recently heard from somebody like that their friend is like this billionaire who just looks at various industries and is like, oh, that is a thing that is like 40 years old that nobody's refreshed. So they're the person behind the brand Method because they looked at like those like soap and like the shit that you buy in the like houseware section of grocery store and was like, this all looks like shit and looks like it was designed in the 70s. And so ever since they told me that, I've been trying to think of like, what is the other thing that is that? And like, Halloween costumes fucking suck, man. They're right. Like so bad. Like Halloween costume stores. Like what? Why is that?
Maybe we seem to be more creative because I feel like we're kind of a lot of people like we get pigeonholed into like monsters, heroes, sexy stuff and like memes. And you should just be able to be like super esoteric with it. Like maybe like to the point where, you know, you're saying, Ellery, like if it's niche, fuck explaining it to somebody. It's like it's Halloween. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm dressed whatever the fuck I want to. If I want to wear three sets of pajamas all at once, I'm going to do that.
Your pajamas, Sam. I do think it's one of the few industries where you really bump up against IP. So like you're like, we've all seen those tweets that are like, instead of Wednesday Addams, it's like Monday Jones or some shit like
right,
that.
Right.
Yeah. Blake from Workaholics was talking about on their show, This Is Important, that he found a costume that was his like a wig and a like tie that like his uniform from Workaholics, and it was like lazy Blork. Stoner guy from work. Yeah, Blork. Lazy stoner guy from work and
that's
dude,
office
that's job.
So funny. It'd be awful if they just like roasted you just being like ugly frizzy haired. It's like what the fuck?
Right.
Look, it's Blork from Job Addict.
I mean, that's what they should do, absolutely.
I think maybe that's just funnier is getting wild, Blork. Like dancing the fine line of
getting
IP.
So close. Yeah.
You're like, dude, no, this is Blork from Job Addict. What are you talking? Who's Blake from Workaholics? Maybe we need to sue them. Wait, the sweater weather thing though. Explain, because aren't you from the Northeast? Aren't you from New York?
I am. Good memory.
Yeah.
And even there, like, I sort of miss seasons, but there's nothing as uncomfortable to me as being cold. And then also, I'll argue that, like, sweater weather, fall weather, you need, like, a sweater in the morning. By afternoon, it's 75 degrees.
Yeah.
And absolutely. All of those layers don't make sense. And then as soon as the sun goes down, it's, like, 40.
Right,
and
right,
so it's like you're experiencing like three different outfit needs in one day.
Yeah, wow, especially in Los Angeles, like for sure. Trying to dress a kid for school, like on, like my son went to school today in like a heavy sweater and shorts because I was just like, I don't fucking know.
And that sweater will be gone by the afternoon and you'll never see it again. It'll just get pulled off at school and stay there.
Plus, like in high school, like junior high and stuff, I never brought a jacket to school unless it was raining.
That's such a
hoodie,
teenager
I wear a hoodie at most.
To never wear a jacket. That's such a teenage thing, like in my life.
Yeah,
too.
Just being stupid because you're like, whatever, like the morning will be cold and then you'll get in the class. And then by nutrition, it's more bearable. And plus, like, I would always forget my jackets in class and then something.
Yeah,
like,
having
jacket,
to carry something
jack
around.
My jacket. Yeah.
What are you, a white kid from Massachusetts? Not wearing
it.
The cold doesn't bother me. Cold doesn't bother me. Wait, the cold is just
cold,
a state of mind.
I'm talking
dude.
About when it's 68.
Right. Yeah. They will walk outside in shorts and a t-shirt and be like, nah, dude, this is nothing. And Mass, it's like we're in New York. We're like probably the same latitude. What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated, I have mid-morning movies. Like a 10 a.m. to an 11 a.m. movie.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, shit. Like going to the movie theater?
Like going to the movie, seeing like the first movie that you can that day. Like when I had Movie Pass, RIP, I have the AMC Pass now, but I would get so stoned and just see like the earliest movie I could. And I had the rest of the day to myself. It was like the perfect sort of morning. I'd like bring a coffee in.
Wow. Like you're reading the paper.
Yeah. Exactly.
Catching a movie. I don't think I've ever been to the first showing of like a film. I feel like I've been to a matinee. Like, I think the earliest I've ever been to a film was like noon.
noon is operable, but it's so in the middle of the day that it like sort of mm-hmm. takes a chunk out. I feel like doing it first thing, you have the rest of the day. It's also sort of like a slow wake up. Right. So by the time you're back out, the world is like on.
That's such a good idea. I'm going to quit this job, Jack. So I'm going to start doing that.
I mean,
it's definitely a luxury of the unemployed for sure.
We can just change when we record. I want to start doing it too. That sounds.
No, I want to do it too.
I want to go.
It's meditative. I highly recommend it.
Right.
Bong Joon-ho, like, you're the second person I've heard talk about like morning movies in the last week. He was talking about how he wakes up at 5 every morning and watches a movie, which is
the director
wild,
of Parasite, Bong Joon-ho?
Yeah, the director yeah. of Parasite wakes up like and watches 1 to 2 movies before his day starts.
Oh, interesting.
Which damn. I'm like, man, that's like you always hear about people like waking up and like writing or like doing, you know, something productive. I like the idea of just being like, no, this is my favorite thing in the world to do. So
it's also productive. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And for someone who's a filmmaker, it's probably yeah. incredibly stimulating and inspiring. Like,
definitely.
Just like if you're a musician, like you need to listen to other shit to be like, oh, shit, now I'm getting fucking ideas.
Yeah,
so
yeah. exactly.
But I wonder how he chooses. Like, does he just. Does he have like a list that he goes
oh, I'm
to?
Sure
he's
he
like,
has,
oh,
like,
I haven't seen Senseless with Marlon Wayans and David Spade yet.
When you listen
I
to like this
one. Love that.
When you listen to like cinephiles talk, it's that you realize that there's like you could keep watching great movies like from now until the time you died, and like you'd
so
never
many. I like kind of yeah. like imagining watching him watch like what's the worst that could happen, like the Danny DeVito
right.
Martin Lawrence crossover yeah. movie. Like,
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna steal that.
Yeah, actually, exactly. I like really bad movies. Like I love a bad movie.
Oh yeah,
right.
The best.
He's like Parasite was actually. I got inspired after I watched the film of Joe's Apartment, the TV film about the cockroaches. Right.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about a story that we could have talked about the last time you were on, Ellery. A Trump rally. Have you guys heard about these? You seen
yeah,
these?
I read about this one.
All right. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. And Trump rallied with Youngkin.
Yeah, Glenn Youngkin.
Youngkin.
Yeah.
Who is somebody?
He's running for governor in Virginia.
Like I was going to say. But Miles, why don't you take it from here?
Here we go.
So, the headline is all I know about this story.
Well, okay, so Virginia, they have a gubernatorial election coming. And it's going to probably be our first sort of solid indicator of how political candidates are going to fare in the Biden era, especially given like the flippy floppy like platform not being, you know, voted into reality at all. And, you know, while the California recall could have been consequential on a political level and obviously for anyone who lives in the state, California is just reliably blue, unlike Virginia. So they're like, no, this is going to give us a real kind of an eye into maybe what midterms look like or what Democrats are up against, Republicans are up against. And Glenn Youngkin is the Republican running against Terry McAuliffe. And he is like, you know, he's a businessman. He's mostly self-funded, but he's also got, you know, he's got some people helping out. And he's running this like kind of campaign where he's having to half embrace Trump, but can't go full MAGA because suburban and independent voters. And so he's doing this like very like, I'll talk about having voter integrity on my website, but not go full big lie-ish all the time. Like he's just trying to have it every way possible. And there was a rally for him that was hosted by Steve Bannon on Wednesday. And Trump phoned in to like just fucking rant and rave. But the fucking thing kicked off with a pledge of allegiance that, you know, they said, well, oh, this flag is special that we're going to pledge allegiance to. That was, quote, they said, quote, was carried at the peaceful rally with Donald J. Trump on January 6th.
Wow.
And they all said their salute to their fucking whatever. And Youngkin was smart enough to not show up at this thing. Apparently, he's like, he was a no show because I think a lot of people were like, yo, you're at a fucking, they just prayed to a January 6th flag. Like, is this what you want to tell your suburban voters? So then, you know, I think that made a lot of news. And like, you know, obviously McAuliffe is like, are you going to condemn this? But I doubt that's going to happen because he can't piss off the MAGA world. So, yeah, it's just been a lot of interesting things happening. And then earlier in the day, Wednesday, Trump put out this fucking weird statement. He keeps saying this shit about like how Republicans won't vote or shouldn't vote like in the midterms or like they're not. Oh, you better watch out. They're not going to vote. He said this is in a statement he made because he doesn't have Twitter. Quote, if we don't solve the presidential election fraud of 2020, which we have thoroughly and conclusively documented. And as an aside, which has been thoroughly and conclusively
they
fucking
haven't.
Debunked.
Yeah.
Quote, Republicans will not be voting in 22 or 24. It is the single most important thing for Republicans to do.
Mm.
Okay, then don't vote.
I mean, really mixed messaging on that.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. I don't know what the problem this exactly solves for him, unless the plan is to completely get the GOP and the base off of the idea that voting is a concept that is an objective good.
I mean, I think that is sort of a false premise because it anticipates that he's playing 4D chess and has some plan, and it is entirely possible that he just doesn't know how to he's like not thinking about what that message actually means.
Right. But so that's why I'm like, I don't know, because I mean, increasingly, right, with all the voter restriction, if you can get at least half of the country to say like, well, votes don't really matter, then when the other half is saying the election was stolen, it's less of a powerful statement to them, yeah, maybe just for their
that's
own
true.
Perception.
It's less like it's an easier sell.
Yeah, because then half you're like, dude, voting is fucking rigged anyway.
Yeah.
And just get over it. Trump's the winner, that's man. True. Shut up.
I mean, that might be true, but if they sit out as a demographic, it would really hurt the party.
Yeah, which is, that's what I'm like, or again, like to your point, if he's not playing 4D chess, he's just dumb and he thinks of voting like it's a Nike store and you could just boycott the shit until you get
until
what
it
you
gets
want.
Better.
Yeah, like,
I mean,
I
that did
know.
Work. Do you remember when Nike was a company and then they supported Colin Kaepernick? And now, I mean, those people cut up their socks. And
yeah, and now you got and now you got Dr. Dre and Eminem and Mary J. Blige doing the fucking halftime show for God knows why. But it shows you how quick people change on that shit, right? I thought people had caps back, but guess not.
This reminds me of this story about, like, there was a anti-vax mob that stormed a hospital, like, because of these, like, fascist leaders. It was in Rome, though. And, like, over there, these people are in a separate party. And, like, that party doesn't have power. And I just feel like we're at a point where, you know, like, he would in any other system that wasn't like forcing everything into this like two-party situation, like he would be his own party, and like there's just the shit can't hold, like there's just too many like different directions that the party wants to go. I think they're ultimately gonna follow him, which is the scary part, but yeah. Like that's why the two-party system is so scary, is because like he has the energy behind him, and so like they're just all gonna fucking bow. They're gonna pledge to this January 6th flag, and they're gonna nod to the old-fashioned salute that kids used to do to the flag during the pledge in classrooms. Have you ever seen that picture of like the kids? they're all doing the Nazi salute to the American flag, like before Nazis were a thing. That's how people used to say the pledge.
Jack, don't give them fucking ideas.
Did you see the videos?
Like, well, actually, we were doing that before the Nazis.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Two things. Firstly, pledging allegiance is one of those things, like specifically at like a campaign rally or something, that if anybody on the right saw it in North Korea, they'd be like, indoctrination, that's crazy. Yeah. And then secondly, did you see the video of the dude from Smash Mouth doing the Nazi salute on like at a concert? It was it was like this week. It was, you should look it up.
Is that why he's leaving the band?
Is he leaving the band?
Yeah, he announced he's leaving, and he looks forward to being a Smash Mouth fan, a fan of the band, just from the sidelines going forward.
Then that must be why, because that video just went viral like last weekend.
Oh, that makes sense. Because after he retires after a chaotic onstage rant, as the New York Post describes it.
Absolutely how the Post would put it.
Yeah.
What was he saying as he was doing the Nazi salute?
I don't know. I was listening to it on mute. I wasn't interested in hearing any Smash Mouth music.
That's a very good point. That is good mental health care. There's so many good videos of that guy.
The video taken by a patron of the festival shows Harwell slurring his speech and forgetting lyrics during the band's performance, dropping a beer can into the crowd, raising two middle fingers into the air, and at one point displaying what appears to be a Nazi salute. Quote, I'll fucking kill your whole family, I swear to God, Harwell appears to yell at one member of the audience later in the set.
I mean, we've seen this behavior from him before when they were throwing bread at Smash Mouth, and it's an amazing video if you can find it, because he leaves the stage while the band has already started riffing the beginning of All Star, but he like leaves the stage to go fight this person for throwing bread, and they're just up there, like, as you hear, he's still on mic being like, fuck you, man, I'm gonna kick your ass, like, I'm gonna kill you, for like 3 minutes while the band's just like dunk,
just vamping,
like, just doing like a vamping, like
one more time.
Let's take it one more time.
No.
From the top,
and then
top
it ends with him getting back on stage. Like, somebody, it's great.
It's so funny. You know, it's so wild. Salute to Christy Yamaguchi, man. Because in this article I'm reading, they have a tweet of his in the fucking article.
Wow.
Because he tweeted something about, he said, I cannot wait to see Smash Mouth now. And I think it's of the video of shit going down. So look.
Yeah. AKA great Christy Yamaguchi, man, covering the big stories. that's wild. All right. Let's do a quick overview of how power operates. We like to check in with just how these things work in the United States. And so I have these two different stories, but I think are both revealing about different ways that operates. So first we got Adam Schefter, who has become like the ESPN's like star NFL reporter. He's basically the Woj of less interesting, more fucked up sport. But like he knows the inside information about what's going to happen before it happens. And apparently,
how do you get that? How do you get that?
So to do that, he had to earn the trust of the people who have the power, which in the case of the NFL are the owners and front officers. And so one of the revelations from the Washington football team email dump that ended up with John Gruden being revealed to be just like the dumbest, most racist, homophobic bully and resigning is that Schefter was clearing stories with the Washington football team front office before publishing them, asking them to let him know what he needed to like edit, tweak or change. I think that's a direct quote. And cheekily in like a ass cheek kissing way, referring to the people who control the Washington football team as Mr. Editor. He's like, just let me know what you need, Mr. Editor, before publishing the story.
Distort reality to your benefit, sir.
Yes. And this was a story from 2011 about a labor dispute between the players and the owners.
Ooh.
So it's, yeah, he's just doing, you know, this is how a lot of media works, though. And I think is like kind of an underrepresented way that our, you know, system breaks down is that like to get access to the important stories, you have to like earn the trust of the powerful people who are, you know, influencing those stories. And then you end up fucking telling the story that they want you to tell.
Right.
So,
man, Dan Snyder, because that's like, this was, so that this story about the labor dispute, that's obviously before everyone's like, oh, look how this team was being run.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a story about Dan Snyder that came out like last summer or two summers ago. And it was sort of like an indictment of both him and like the inner workings of the team, specifically as it relates to, I believe, cheerleaders and like women in the ranks.
Yeah. I think they were, I think there's, I don't know if this is like fully fleshed out in the reporting, but I think there are reports that they were taking videos of them like on the team cruise ship, like undressing without their knowledge.
Yeah. Like, I remember that part of it.
And then so Schefter is...
And then Schefter carries water for them. Like they're ESPN's main NFL reporter.
Right. He's going to be like, hi, would you like to edit anything from this?
Yeah. Do you? Oh, okay. Cut that out. Got it. KK, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Eddie D.
And then this other story, unrelated, but I think also kind of reveals a detail of how power operates. It's just this Alex Murdaugh, the Murdaugh family. This is like the old-fashioned type of power corrupting that we've seen in movies since movies were a thing, like The Big Fish in a Small Pond. They were a legal powerhouse family, and like they were apparently just literally able to get away with murder for a long time. But
allegedly.
Yeah. So,
oh, is this the one where the like the son killed a kid and then the dad
in
like,
a boat crash?
Yes.
Then him and his mom died suddenly.
Yeah, that was so wacky.
Before I was like viewing the news critically for a living, there was like a part of me that assumed that shit like this was like too blatantly corrupt and evil to actually like still go on. And that it was just like, well, come on. There's like, it's not like somebody would just be like the evil overlord of a town and just like kill people and be like, I can buy my way out of anything. And the truth is, yeah, cut to.
Oh, yeah. So, feudalism still exists, like the tenets of like, it. And we're constantly trying to reinvent it for people. But like, it's so clear. Although it is true that you sort of want to think that things like that are too ridiculous to be true. And then you sort of realize that like, no, it just is happening in the open. People sort of like,
constantly.
I think about this a lot with specifically like Save the Children movement and like the QAnon stuff. It's like, there's not a secret cabal of pedophiles. They're operating pretty openly and they're not scared of retribution because they're rich.
So one thing, Ellery, you should know is that since you were last on, we did become a QAnon podcast. Unfortunately.
And we do hashtag save the children, hashtag think of the children, hashtag where we go one, we go all.
But just to catch up anybody who like wasn't listening the last time we covered the Murdaugh thing, they were like a generations long dynasty of like legal power in South Carolina. Things started to unravel for them when one of their boys, like a high school student, got drunk and killed a young, like pretty white girl. So the news was paying attention in a boating accident. They decided to cover it up, like not in any like careful way. They were just like the way it came out was the police had like this dash cam footage from the night of it happening. And there's like one of the witnesses in the car being like, they like he just clearly like killed somebody and he's going to get away with it because he's part of the Murdaugh family. And like, you guys aren't going to do shit. And then like years later, the police hadn't done shit. And then that footage came out. But when it started to seem like some combination of the scrutiny on that kid and his mom becoming like unloyal to the overall like family patriarch side of the family was going to like put a spotlight on the family. Suddenly that kid and the mom both showed up murdered on their own farm. And then we found out there had been two suspicious murders around that same farm. One with a guy being found with his brains blown out on the side of the road and having the ruling changed from shot in the head execution style, obviously, to vehicular hit and run by the police. Somehow they were like, oh yeah, he got clipped with a mirror, man. It was, you know, happens all the time. And then the other with their housekeeper dying mysteriously while working at their house from a quote fall. And they just immediately put her underground without a autopsy because
oh my God.
Power. So the
he was hit by a Ford Mustang bullet.
Right.
Honestly, sort of Chappaquiddick vibes with the kid, like very much.
Oh yeah, Chappaquiddick. If like the Kennedys were only locally famous and could have just away with whatever the fuck they wanted.
Honestly, what really pisses me off is the housekeeper, because I'm like, if you want to kill each other inside the family, whatever. I don't care. Right. But don't bring like your labor into it. That's not fair.
Yeah.
Well. Tell it to the people who are murdering undisturbed to cover up their own crimes. You're right, Ellery.
That was a bridge too far.
That was
too
far.
You know what I mean?
So the latest charges come from the patriarch of the family. So he basically conspired with the housekeeper's kids to be like, you know, I can buy my way out of anything here. I will fix it so that you get a legal settlement through insurance because I'm so like legally powerful. You're going to get $500,000. They were not in a position to say no to $500,000.
Wasn't it $4.3 million, though?
Oh, was it?
In total?
Okay. Yeah.
I thought the total was in the millions.
Then none of us are in the position to say no to $4.3
million. Well, the thing is you know that each of them only got a million, like after taxes and fees and
whatever. So, except the thing is, he did that, was like, I could buy my way out of anything. Here you go. I'm going to pay you this. Didn't pay it to them, stole that money that he was supposed to give them because he just has absolute power and was like, what the fuck are they going to do? And then, you know, so that is the charge that he's getting hit with right now, is stealing money that was meant for like paying off the children of somebody he had probably murdered, as the legal case like continues to go on. But I feel like that's another feature of power and the conspiracies that we keep seeing kind of come out in the light of day is, like, first of all, it's not that these are the exceptions to the rule. It's that them getting uncovered because, like, somebody, like, this guy got addicted to Oxy and became really, like, desperate and sloppy, and his kid was, you know, killed somebody who the media happened to care about. But, like, this is just a thing that is going on. This is status quo in America, and it coming to our attention is the exception. And then also just like how fucking bad they are. Like, we saw this with Trump, who's just been like steeping in a hot pot of like privilege his entire life and like trying to pull scams. And it's just like, what the fuck are you even trying to do? Like, it's not clear how you're trying to get away with this.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I think it just shows like there are people who still have this mindset where they come from a time where it was truly all gas, no brakes, because your whiteness and wealth were able to
nullify to any get away sense from of anything.
Right. Yeah, so now it's just like, whoa, what the fuck is this now? Like, there's laws and shit.
Yeah,
you're like, no, this is not how my dad did it.
Mm.
What the fuck are we doing? And I think you're seeing a lot of this carry over generationally, where now these people are like surprised, like genuinely shocked. Yeah. And I think that's why it's so blatant too, because they've only seen generational examples of, yeah, you can get away with this shit.
Yeah. When he tried to cover, like throw the stink off himself for murdering his wife and kid and housekeeper and random guy found on the side of the road, the way he did it was hired his Oxy dealer to shoot him in the head, but graze him and then be like, I don't know, the killer is out there and he tried to shoot me. And then like they immediately realized like he had hired somebody to do that. And It's still being covered as like he did it as part of an insurance scheme. And it's like, no, he did it because he's like guilty of all these other things.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Also, somebody addicted to Oxy is not who I would pick to have very good, like, shoot at my face but miss.
Right. Well, he was the dealer, so he's the addict.
But is he following the 10 crack commandments?
Yeah, I was about to say, I feel like every dealer is also partaking.
Getting high on their own supply.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And it's only the ones that really have their shit together that don't, and you're impressed. Yeah, you're like, oh, that's why you've been able to sell cocaine this long. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You're like, I love this apartment building. I thought there was a waiting list for this place downtown. I sell coke to the Carusos.
Wow. That would be a good gig.
Can you imagine? There probably is someone like that, right? It's like, they give the Carusos all these drugs and they keep them. They're like, yeah, wherever you need, we'll set you up.
We're talking about Alex Caruso, right?
Laker player. No, not the fan, overly powerful real estate developer who runs LA.
That guy definitely has a cocaine dealer.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lives in a sick, sick apartment.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about Big Strike Energy.
Yeah.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back, and there's starting to be some strikes. around the country, starting to be a little momentum behind labor. Over 10,000 John Deere workers went on strike on Wednesday, which is the largest private sector strike since 2019. Yeah, it seems like
when you see that, when I read that line, I was like, oh man, since I was probably gonna be like the 90s, and like, no, 2019, because things are, if you look on a timeline, on an accelerated path, because inequality is on an accelerated path. And yeah, I think we've seen this through everything. You know, the pandemic has just made inequalities painfully clear for most everyone in this country. And as more workers withhold their labor for better pay and benefits, companies are struggling to figure out how to stay greedy and have slave wages. It's, I mean, how do you do it? I don't know. So we have all these strikes. In this instance, John Deere employees are striking because, can anyone guess? They want better wages and a fucking pension plan that doesn't cut out new hires. Huh. Who would have thought?
And what's next?
But the reasons have been same across the country. You know, companies are reporting the same things happening. Companies have report record profits. Oh my God, we're record profits. And thanks to you all, whose labor we extracted all this wealth from. Shout out to you, because, you know, you guys are rock stars. I hope
you
that
guys
helps.
Are the rock stars who made this trip to space possible.
Woo! Y'all are rock stars.
Give yourselves a hand.
Don't ask for less work or more pay, you fucking cretins. So in 2021, just to give you an idea for John Deere, they're set to profit nearly $6 billion due to increased demand for their agricultural parts and equipment. And it's beating its past record by 63%. The CEO in 2020 was paid $15.6 million in compensation thanks to a baby shareholder value. The stock is performing. Here's
it's a deal, man. I mean, I was on that shareholders call. That guy's got it, Miles. And locking him in for a mere 15 mil, I mean.
Oh, my God.
What's so fucked up about that is that those employees are only asking for like 20 cents more an hour by 2024. Like, they're not even asking for all that much.
And you're right, because they're, you know, the United Auto Workers Union, who's representing them, they were the ones who said, no, this last thing that John Deere put in front of them, absolute trash. And even if you just think of this, right, this fucking CEO made $15 million. Imagine if he said, you know what, I only need $5 million this year. The other $10 million, for those 10,000 workers, he could have cut them a $1,000 check each.
More, even more. Yeah. That's crazy.
Right. I'm just saying narrowly, if you want to be the most greedy version, right? It's like, well, we're not going to touch what the corporate profits are. I'll say, for me as a CEO, you can take this out of my piece. I don't need 15. Come on now. Five is fine. The 10 for y'all, the people who I acknowledge that off of your fucking blood, sweat, and tears and your backs and bodies being broken and being put to work all the time. That's why I have this shit. But you know, I think at the end of the day, it isn't just this industry or just a specific region of the country. You got the Kellogg cereal factory. Workers went on strike to end a 2-tier benefit system they had. Frito-Lay Nabisco went on strike earlier this summer. And fucking IATSE.
On Monday.
Okay, on Monday, shit could go down. And you're going to have 60,000 Hollywood film crew, people who work in production, who are going to go on strike because, again, people see the same shit going around. And no matter what your job is, you have probably seen the same thing. You get paid fuck all, and you watch your managers or superiors or the leadership of a company living in a completely different financial reality, and then fucking condescend and patronize you with like all these just like empty platitudes about like gratitude for what you've done. And they're like, oh, yeah, dude, I got a sick ass bonus. Like, we shattered our revenue goals.
I mean,
fucking
I think
destroyed
two things. I think firstly, people, managers, specifically higher ups, are so far removed from the realities of labor that they can no longer even imagine what it's like to be living at $15 or less an hour, not even touching what it means to physically be the labor. And then secondly, did you see the tweet that IATSE put out today? Where they have been hearing reports because productions know that a strike is coming, they are forcing onto their crew members extra seventh day and sixth day. Like they're trying to get
cram it in
before the strike. So they're breaking more labor laws to get ready for the strike, which is like such bad faith. It's like, let's get this in while we can still do it. Like,
right. Yeah, you might as well just strike now.
I mean, as from where I'm standing, I am like shocked that workers haven't turned to like violence and like Molotov cocktails, because it's like, and truly what I think it is, and I think about this a lot, like a general strike would never be possible in America because we don't have the network of mutual aid to support laborers who would not be able to go into work. And so, and another thing I heard about IATSE is that one of my friends who's in IATSE told me that they had been talking about how some productions are reaching out to college students to get them to scab, like college film students here.
Wow. Oh.
And those kids don't know that if they are scabs, that means they can't join the union when they're ready.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's, yeah. And look, so again, it's always rearing its ugly head, even if it's saying like, oh, I guess we have to deal with these people in good faith. We'll also try and exploit even further.
Yeah.
Until the wheels quite literally fall off.
Which just show you that it's almost never in good faith. Like they don't actually, like if there is a dollar to be made, that will always be more important than humanity and safety.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think this is what's interesting, too, is, you know, it's clear now workers are beginning to realize they have the leverage here.
Right.
Or else we wouldn't see all these strikes happening.
Absolutely.
Like 10 years ago, it was fucking forget about
it. But America used to be like a union country.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Till
Reagan came along.
Yeah. You know, bust them shits up. And also, yeah, Starbucks, too. I believe they closed down two stores. I think one in New York and another one in Pennsylvania. Because yeah, because they were talking.
Is that legal? That's not legal, is it?
I think they can just be like, I mean, sorry, guys, we just can't afford it. Like, this doesn't work for us.
They could be like, oh, the overhead here is too high. Yeah. So the stores.
Yeah. I mean, we were just talking about how these motherfuckers can do anything.
You're right.
It's just like, yeah, it is, but watch this.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it was for operational efficiency.
And so many of those things are like, let's say, for example, the opioid crisis, all that shit was illegal, but it was legal with a fine. Like if you can, if you can pay apologize for it, you can do it.
Yeah, yeah. And it also means that's a law for poor people.
Yes, you know, exactly. It means that's a law for poor people.
That's
for
how you know.
Poor companies.
If it's a fine, it's only for poor people.
And even wealthy people. In so many instances, there are offenses that could be prisonable, jailable, and whatever. We can get into how nobody should go to prison. But for really rich people, they never see jail time. They just see fines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's nothing. So,
and that's baked in. I mean, that's a legal liability is baked into their calculus. There's that book, The Corporation from 2003, that is, or I think it's from earlier, but the documentary came out in 2003, but it talks about how corporations like have legal rights as individuals. Like they have the right to be treated as individuals, but when you look at how they behave, if an individual behaved that way, they would be, you know, in prison and deemed a psychopath, like an actual like categorical like psychopath, because they have been on the record many times as being like, okay, so we discovered this manufacturing defect in this car. It's probably going to kill 12,000 people.
Oh,
but
okay, that's a good number.
But their suits, like the limit to the like tort law or whatever the fuck it is, like means that this is how much we stand to lose, and this is how much we would lose if we did a recall. And so we're going to go with just letting the people die, like because that's just how.
Less money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there is like an assignable price. I think the UN once like got to a specific number, but there's like assignable prices to human lives, which is so intangible and so fucked up. But that's like that's capitalism.
Right. That's where we have to be at. And I just want to say, you know, like to that point of, you know, how general strike would not work. Like, obviously, this one works because they're in a union and the union is giving them, you know, I think like $275 a week for these John Deere employees to be able to withstand on a very small scale the loss of income. But the other thing is, because there's so much leverage, you'd hope that more and more working people begin to understand that workers have just unfathomable leverage at the moment, because all you see right now is from the business owning class through their friends in media, they are terming this a labor shortage, right? And it's that perception which makes it just seem like, oh man, like people aren't working. Rather than saying, yo, people are fed the fuck up and they're getting organized and they're actually beginning to advocate for better outcomes for themselves in a way that they never have, because the entire agreement has been fucked up. And so it's always through this very distorted lens.
Well, it's not a labor shortage until there are wage hikes. Like, until wages go up, it's not a true labor shortage. And I also heard this very interesting take, and I can't remember who it's from, but essentially they said that there are places who are, say that they're hiring, but won't actually hire anybody because it cuts their overhead costs to have fewer people and run on a skeleton crew, but because of it might affect customer service and therefore public opinion, they have to be like, we can't find anybody to work for us. Nobody wants to work anymore. But in reality, they're like, fine, we'll run on a skeleton crew, pay them exactly as much as they were and make even more.
Right.
Right. Yeah. who was it who was talking about going into a bar that was like overrun and like just one person behind the
bar? I think it was Johnny yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah. Johnny was saying.
Oh, he said Biden.
Yeah. He walked into a bar. The bartender was like just, you know, completely overwhelmed and turned to him and just went, Biden.
I mean, I think that sums it up perfectly. That sums it up perfectly. And it's also like, I feel like I want to have like a group team meeting where I'm like, we need to stress the importance of like labor solidarity, because if you strike alone, it doesn't matter. But if you strike with your coworkers, now you have something that's really important.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why, getting organized. I know it comes in many different fashions, but like whether that's just getting the pulse of your coworkers and knowing where they're at and like what their needs are and wants are, and being like, you know, if we get organized, we can all say, look, we want this shit.
Or even finding out how much everybody makes.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Which you'll see. And then the most insidious things, you'll still see like it's illegal, but you'll see places to be like, don't talk about your wages.
I've had that so many at the donut shop. People were, they literally told us that. They were like, don't talk about what you make back here. Like, that's not appropriate. Okay.
AKA, there's some fuck shit going
on. Exactly. And I was like, that's illegal. Like, you can't tell me that.
Wow. Oh, one question I had. Like, so if there's a strike going on in your local community and like there are, you know, people who need support, like community support, like just like, are there food banks? Are there like how are ways that people can just like hop in? And
so I'm actually pretty looped into this, at least in Los Angeles. I run a soup kitchen on Tuesdays in Koreatown. Lots of comedians come and volunteer because they've been unemployed for the last 15 months. But I would say specifically in Los Angeles, if you can donate, if you know anybody who is in the union who is striking, you can ask them specifically what they might need, and that would be good. But if you don't, you can donate to food banks. We have a huge network of community fridges, which don't just need food. They also need people to go and clean up any boxes or remove any spoiled food. And then I would recommend getting involved with a mutual aid organization in your neighborhood. And that can look like a diaper bank. It can look like a food bank. It can look like any number of things. Water drops, specifically in LA, very important. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would just say try to do hyper local. And something I've noticed over the pandemic, it's not like I, for a long time, I ate at my soup kitchen because like money was short for me, too. It's all different types of people that face like food insecurity or diaper insecurity, or like a big one we see is like menstrual product insecurity. So there are all these like sort of small necessities of daily life that as your bank account dwindles, those get harder to place. Yeah. And so finding ways to fill in those gaps, I think, is like the number one thing that we can do to support like striking labor.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And sometimes there'll be strike funds.
Yes, I think there will eventually. There'll definitely be an IOTC strike fund for sure.
Yeah. And that's one way, if you're not maybe physically there, you can support with your money to support a strike fund that would then help striking workers.
And I would argue that liquid cash is definitely the most important like thing, because you can't anticipate an individual's needs, only they can. And some people are like, oh, I don't want to give out, you know, cash money. And I think that's the number one way to help a person is to give them cash, liquid cash.
But I need them to jump through this hoop where they apply for a job. Yeah. And then
how do I means test this?
Yeah. Yes,
exactly.
Dude, that's so.
And it's so everywhere.
It is everywhere.
Yeah. And people don't realize, too, how insidious means testing is, too. Like, even I have friends who work in, you know, blue municipalities, state governments, where they bang their head against the wall with their other bureaucratic coworkers, who they're like, yeah, we do need to address this and help these people who, like, you know, these people in this marginalized community do need better, like, we should allow them to, we should give computers or something just to create better educational outcomes. And people are like, but how do we know that people are going to use them in the right way?
I just feel like, fuck that. Like, I don't
take that out of your mind.
Yeah, well, first things firstly, I would so much rather help somebody by accident than not help anybody, or like give somebody something that they don't actually need. And then secondly, or like the amount of like fraud that would have to happen for me to care about it would have to be like 25%. And that's not happening. Yeah. It's going to be like 1-5%, if that. And then secondly,
the fraud that's happening is with the wealthy.
Yes, really, genuinely. Right.
That's the large scale fraud we should be worried about.
And then also something I've like noticed is like the amount of self-policing that we do. Like people police like the community fridges and being like, oh, like I saw this person take that thing. Shut up. Shut up.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Did you have a need for this?
Yeah.
Oh, no, like, so it's charity,
all
or
things
this charitable
for everybody.
Offering?
I don't like, we don't care what people take. We don't care what they leave. We just care that they respect the space.
Yeah. Right. That's so funny because just, it's not funny, but it's just like I have a 5-year-old and 3-year-old and like they are obsessed with what the other one is getting. Like they don't care what they get as long as the other one doesn't get shit. Like they just like want, I don't know, that just feels like it's like a very like deeply human thing where people are like, wait, what did they do? It's
or childish.
Like, yeah.
Right.
But it has
childish.
To be like,
yes.
Unlearned, or it's like something you actively have to work against. Yeah.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
That, yeah. That you don't, if you have a scarcity mentality, then the world is fucking awful and there's no need to help anyone because everything's fucked. But the fact is, there is a lot, there's abundance out there. It's just, it's been untapped in a lot of ways, whether that's people not paying their taxes or the fact that we have tremendous food waste or other things. Like, there are many ways to actually, you know, approach these things. But it's, I think, some, you know, it's the imagination part.
Yeah.
And I think, this is the good thing about the big strikes going on. People are beginning to get the imagination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, children are monsters. They have to have it drilled out of them just by nature. There's so much wild shit in there.
Yeah. Yo, what about that thing you do? Like if you have like siblings or cousins and you like you bring in like a plate of food and you're like, which one's heavier?
Right.
Like, no, I'm going to get that one. Here you go. You know what I mean? Which bag is heavier of this takeout?
Like, Which one's bigger? Like,
which one's bigger?
All right. Well, once again, we're not going to have time to get to the zero visual imagination thing. But that is, I think that's what it should be. It's just a story that's out there, that's off in the distance that we can always aspire to get to. But there was just too much good shit to talk about today with Ellery. Ellery, such a pleasure having you. Where can people find you and follow you?
You can find me at Ellery_Smith on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah. Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, I have a tweet today and I picked it out not knowing what we would talk about, but now it seems really fitting. So it's a tweet from Bug at Woolly World, W-O-L-Y World. And it says, I love when customers are rude. No way, OMG, my turn.
That's amazing. Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray, and also the other podcast, 420 Day Fiance with Sophie Alexandra, where we talk 90 day, you know, on that 420 shit. And yes, some tweets that I'm liking. First one is from Matt_Johnson, who said, my students are so young that if I yelled the roof, the roof, the roof is on fire, they would think the roof was on fire. like, wow. That makes sense.
But we do need water.
another one from Amelia Elizalde at Amelia Elizalde on Twitter says, all the video games my boyfriend plays are like, would you like to search beehive? And he'll say yes. And it'll be like, you have found a bee. Just like a stupid role-playing game shit, but... I just love this take on it. Like, wow. That, you
found
a bee in that beehive.
Babe, ooh. I found a bee.
There's a bee. Babe, there's a bee in there. Yeah, the beehive. Yeah, yeah, I searched when it asked me to say yes.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. A couple tweets I've been enjoying. Jess Dweck at The Dweck tweeted, Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox will keep releasing quotes until their demands are met. And then Casey... at CT Right Pretty tweeted, I bet Shaq has called the vaccine a Shaq scene so many times that people have gotten mad at him. And that is, there's almost no way that's not true. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Hey, Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
Oh man, we got something new. Well, new to me, but it's a track from Kali Uchis and SZA, and I just like this one just to get your weekend started. It's called Fue Mejor, and you know, this is it's got spooky, it's sexy, and I couldn't ask for two artists that I like to hear more sing. So Kali Uchis, SZA, Fue Mejor.
Awesome. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning, but we're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch stratacoaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.